101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
They do not know what we are capable of. They do not know what we are thinking. Because my work has only just begun.
Up you mighty people, up you mighty people, up you mighty, feel it down in your soul. Up you mighty people, till you can't control it. Put your hand up to the sky. Mama, don't ask why. In these dark and lonely times, we go turn the tide. If you're looking for a sign, turn and look inside of you. Sweat is holy water. Every move you're making is praise unto the Master. Yes, yeah, 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 yeah. Because you're powerful, powerful, inside, outside, wonderful, magical, beauty. Can't hide me and you, never lose. Trust me, can't lie. Hopeful, hopeful, till the day we die. Whoa, powerful, yeah.
Good morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 8th of August, 2023, which means it must be Fox Hill Day. Mm-hmm. Good morning to all the people in Fox Hill, raising a joyous noise. We say good morning. I also want to send a shout out to Michaela Stubbs and all of the doctors, the staff, the interns, the admin, the janitorial staff, the people them in the kitchen making sure that the patients can eat. I want to say good morning to everyone, and in particular, I want to say good morning to all of the patients at PMH and in the healthcare system, all the patients at Doctors Hospital. I want to say good morning to all of our healthcare workers, everyone who has committed themselves to work in the healthcare space. We say good morning to you. Now, it's a World News Tuesday with Mr. Mark Palmer. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Well, listen, I've got to get through my Sand Dollar Live reads, and then we're going to jump into a whole bunch of conversation. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of topics here. The first is the summer of their discontent. A riot sprung up in Union Square in New York City this weekend. Touch on that just a little bit. And then the Montgomery Riverside Brawl, a.k.a. when Alabama Strong was really Alabama Wrong. Traffic fatalities in Exuma. And a number of traffic matters. And then some things in the newspaper. PM says announcement on GG coming soon. So let's get the show started. Thursday the 10th and Friday the 11th of August, that's Thursday and Friday of this week, central bank representatives will be giving out sand dollars at Fresh Market Old Fort Bay location. Show your sand dollar enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in sand dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. The offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show their sand dollar enabled wallet at each location. It's one top up per person, so as many people as possible can experience the sand dollar. For more details, visit any of the sand dollar social media pages or call 302-988-988. Zero. This is Fresh Market, Old Fort Bay location. I want to say to people, especially if they are new users, before you go into the store or any store intending to spend sand dollars on your groceries, please see if you could stop in and have a moment, just a moment with the store manager or the cashier supervisor, and let them know, A, that you're paying in sand dollars, B, that it's your only payment method available, and C, that you have never actually completed this transaction before. You're new to it, and you would appreciate it, you know, if they're aware and they could step in and assist the cashier if there's an issue. Just let them know when you come into the store, especially if that's your only payment method. You don't want to have to put things back, you know, especially if you're in a rush. Okay, on to the on-the-clock Sand Dollar Trivia Giveaway. Every day for the away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every week, players can win up to $300 in Sand Dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number. If you answer the question correctly, you'll be transferred back to the producer to confirm your information, including your custom name or wallet address. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. Again, you can only win once. You can only win once. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 for people in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence. 242-300-5720 is a toll-free number. And our text line, powered by BTC, is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Here is the first question of the day. Which law prohibited the enslavement of Africans? Which law prohibited the enslavement of Africans? That's the question
this
to answer.
British law, right?
Yeah, sorry. Which common British Commonwealth law prohibited the enslavement of Africans? Which British law prohibited the enslavement of Africans? Mr. Palmer, you know, that's that good old colonialism that got mm-hmm. me, right? Mm-hmm. Because everything belongs to the Commonwealth. But is it Sir Francis Drake that said, the sun never sets on the British Empire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or on the British Commonwealth.
Yeah, sometimes.
So, did you know I went to school in Scotland?
No.
Back in the day?
No.
They wouldn't have me at QC.
For real?
They sent my parents sent me over to Scotland. So there was actually something that happened in Scotland, which was a public health issue, which I wanted to bring up, if that's okay.
Yes.
So, you know, and this is to do with, you know, remember what happened the last 3 years. So they actually had a COVID inquiry and
okay.
they commissioned.
All right.
This very
which bodies constituted the commission, and which bodies did the government initiate the commission?
So that I'm a little sketchy about the exact details. I wasn't mm-hmm. even aware that it was happening. Mm-hmm. But as part of it, they commissioned an expert to write a report. So basically, his name was Dr. Ashley Croft, and apparently he's like one of the top people in Scotland on epidemiology.
Okay.
And so he was entrusted to go over all the data, look back what happened over the last 3 years, and do this report for the inquiry, which is going on at the moment. And he just published the report, and I was quite interested to look at it. And it's actually quite a big report. It's 127 pages. Now, I didn't read all of it, but I did go to the to the summary.
Okay, yeah.
And what was interesting, he talked about the physical measures. Remember, there were physical measures that we were subjected to, but also around the world. So this is
lockdowns,
washing hands, you know, mask wearing outside a clinical setting, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so he talked about, so this is what it says, which is quite interesting. I thought our listeners might be interested to hear. He said the physical measures recommended or mandated by the Scottish government, I think they were pretty similar to what we did here, range from simple public health practices, like the encouragement of frequent hand washing, cleaning of environmental surfaces, and I think we encourage that here as well,
mm-hmm.
the use of PPEs in hospitals and care homes, to then much more coercive measures and intrusive measures, which were these face mask mandates outside of healthcare settings, lockdowns, enforced social distancing, test trace, and isolating measures. And he said, while in 2020 there was scientific evidence to support some of the physical measures, the frequent hand washing, the PPE, in hospital settings that were adopted, other measures, the ones I just referred to, the face mask mandates, et cetera, social distancing, lockdowns, there was either insufficient evidence in 2020 to support their use, or alternatively, no evidence. And he also adds that the evidence base has not changed materially in the intervening 3 years. So that's kind of worrying. So he basically said pretty much what we did in a public health setting had no had very little scientific basis. Mm-hmm. So my worry is going forward, are we going to do it again?
True.
And so reading that, I was quite shocked, really. I mean, I think a lot of us kind of knew, right?
But a point. The report says that the policies derived around lockdowns, masks, and intrusive or coercive policy control, mm-hmm. behavior controls, right? That they have no basis in science.
Right.
But here's the question. Do they have any statistics to show or to prove the effect? Was there a positive effect of wearing the masks, distancing?
Yeah. I haven't read the report, but there are hundreds of references. So for somebody who wants to go into the report and look at that, they may well have been positive things, but what they're saying is that there was no evidence to support,
it in the first place. Yeah.
And so I haven't seen, the science. Mm.
See, for me,
for a positive thing.
Those policies made sense if our aim was to protect the most vulnerable members of our communities, our schools, and our families, mm-hmm. right? If the focus was on sort of isolating them from the risk by doing these things. But I don't think that's what the policy decisions were premised in. But what's the name of the report and the name of the doctor so people can research it? You know, they can pull it up themselves.
If you Google COVID-19 Inquiry Scotland, you'll be able to find a link to the report. I mean, the other thing which was interesting, he also says, he talks a lot about vaccination, goes into a lot of detail on the rollout and, who was prioritized, etc. But his conclusion was it remains unclear as to whether or not COVID-19 vaccination has resulted in fewer deaths from COVID-19, which is kind of a bombshell, really, because my understanding was from the media that they'd saved 2 million lives or 20 million lives. And now he's saying that there's no evidence to suggest that lives were saved. So I think these things are kind of concerning. They need to look into this and delve into it a little bit more.
Absolutely.
But I wonder if we're ever going to do that here in the Bahamas, some kind of inquiry, because I think that would be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
It would absolutely be interesting. I don't know two things. If there is the political will,
It's done, it's over, let's focus.
Yeah, deploy the resources necessary to make a sufficiently rigorous inquiry, right, on the statistics. I'm not even sure if we've been able to collect data. And that was, the thing I wanted to refer back to in terms of the number of lives saved, the estimation, mm-hmm. right?
I think that it's a difficult thing. You have to model information like that. I think it's a difficult thing in the absence of data to prove either way, because mm-hmm. the way you do it is through random controlled trials, RCTs, which are the gold standard. But the challenge was 2 months after the vaccine manufacturers got approval for the vaccines, they unblinded their placebo groups. And so what that meant is that we don't have a control group against the vaccinated that we can check, how each group did. They were just unblinded. And I think that is a big challenge. We'll never know.
I know you were following the work and the communications of a local physician's group called, I think, the Optimists.
Right, correct.
Yeah. Would it be possible to connect with them and have a conversation about what work is taking place locally, whether it's public sector driven or private mm-hmm. sector driven, or like NGO, a group of concerned or interested physicians, if they're engaged in any research, assessments, inquiries, data collection, to make an assessment, even if it's in an attempt to juxtapose mm-hmm. against what's been produced in other jurisdictions like Scotland, coming out of the EU, even coming out of Cuba, the African Union, right, to juxtapose what you've derived from mm-hmm. your stats with what other countries have come up with.
Because remember, Scotland's different from the Bahamas. There's a different, different climate, different things. So we are more in line with the Caribbean. So it'd be interesting to see if anyone from the Optimist group is listening. They reach out to us and let us know if there's anything going on in that way.
Right, and maybe we can invite them. Yeah. Well, we're inviting them. Maybe we can have them on for a larger conversation about it.
Yeah, because I always tell my daughter, the definition of madness is doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
So yeah.
I think before we try the same things again. We just need to be sure whether they are actually beneficial or not.
Absolutely. And the Pandemic Act, right? The legislation that was created or enhanced, some people would say, during the pandemic or for the purpose of the pandemic, right? That's also, like all laws, an evolving document, right? And it has to be able to evolve with the time. And we, the people, have a right to input, to make input into, you know, into that bill.
I think the other thing, I think you mentioned it on a previous show, you know, because I know you're very into the Constitution and everything that we do here should be evidenced by the Constitution, or at least the Constitution should be referred.
All laws should align with the Constitution. Right. All laws are presumed to align with the Constitution until they're shown to be in contravention of the Constitution. Yeah, yeah.
I know we had the civil rights lawyers or these, you know, people like Fred Smith, were they actually looking at this and seeing whether everything was done as it should have been done, or were there things skate a bit on the...
One of the greatest concerns about the lockdowns was the lack of engagement from both, I want to say, the judiciary in particular, on all matter of human rights abuses and legal concerns, right? In terms of labor, employees not being able to sever themselves from the company, to resign, to receive the appropriate severance packages, a number of issues around employment and vaccines, right? And so there's a great cry that there was not enough dialogue driven by local experts, legal experts.
Yeah. So if you were employed and you were forced to do something, was that, you know, did that contravene your employment contract?
Right.
Because my understanding is unless you agree to it, an employer can't change, you know,
the terms of
the contract.
Right, right,
without,
right. And to what
coercion.
And to what extent does the Pandemic Act
allow you to do that?
Allow you to do that, right? There was just a lot of missing dialogue. And I hope that...
I think they're difficult questions, you know, and I know we were in difficult times, but I think now that things are calmer, I think, you know, calmer minds will prevail. And I'm hoping that, you know, people will look into this and make sure that we do it better the next time.
That's very generous of you. A difficult question.
It is difficult. Remember, I mean, if you go back to the times where I think everyone was panicking. And I think the instinct is always take advice from these international bodies, right? Because nobody gets fired from, you know, engaging the top people. And it's actually the safest thing to do in that. But it's also the laziest thing to do, I think. I think you have to use your critical, you know, there's no such thing as a one size fits all.
The whole world.
I mean, we're all so different genetically, biologically, climatically.
Absolutely. And even if you've been driven by global expertise, right? A supranational or intergovernmental expert space, you still are obligated as local experts to document what it is you did and why you did it.
Well, I'll give you one really good example before we go to the caller. It's that India asked Pfizer to allow its independent scientists to review the data, and Pfizer refused, and therefore Pfizer was not used in India. So that's a classic example of a local country taking, you know, critically thinking.
Yeah, and taking control,
control of the health of their citizens.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Abolition Act?
Yes, it was the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833. You gave your producer your information, right?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
That's right. Okay, that's awesome. I will touch base with you after the show so that we can confirm information and transfer you your funds.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you very much. Mark, let me throw...
There was an earlier law, wasn't there? Was it the immense... I forget the exact name, which prohibited the transportation of slaves.
Right, so there was an act that ended the transatlantic
shipment.
Right, transatlantic slave of capturing people and enslaving them.
And
shipping them over.
Which then allowed the British Navy to police the waters here to catch any slaving ships that were coming through, you know, the Commonwealth countries.
Yeah.
Or empire.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it feels like the creation of...
That was 1807. I think it was a lot.
Or 04.
It was many years before the actual
final act. Yeah,
07.
Yeah. The enslavement of Africans was driven by... People call it economic interest. Maybe I'll call it greed. Mm-hmm. But the ending of slavery was also driven by economic...
Of course, because the insurance companies wouldn't cover the ship owners who lost slaves. And when that became an economic unviable, that was the last straw, I suppose, on the camel's back. So it's interesting you mentioned that. It's always follow the money.
Yeah.
Very few times things actually happen because of somebody's good heart, or for a higher purpose.
Always follow the money. And there's some people who... That's how they're able to, A, stay on the cutting edge, B, stay three or four steps ahead of even policymakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
We find that policymakers tend to be very slow. And it's because they are not following the trends, because they think they set the trends, right? But if you follow the money, you can be three or four steps ahead, because... Money is currency, and currency flows,
mm-hmm.
right?
We have our expression, right? Talk is cheap, right? Money buy land.
Absolutely. absolutely. Listen, let me throw out the second question of the day. We're going to go to a break, and when we get back from the break, mark the sum of their discontent.
Mm.
Ah, boy. This was even in the Bahamas. All right, second question of the day. In what year was the British apprenticeship system abolished for enslaved people? In what year was the British apprenticeship system abolished for enslaved people? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-300-5720 for people in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence. And our text line, powered by BTC, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. In what year was the British apprenticeship system abolished? And I'm going to give you all just a little tip for the questions this week. It's emancipation time. And so all of the questions, at least this week, are going to be emancipation-based. They will be emancipation-based. Okay. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, Mark, all kinds of things have been happening this weekend. Not just in the Bahamas, all over the world. Mm-hmm. What a time to be alive. You're on the clock with Aaron Green on this World News Tuesday with Mark Palmer. We'll be right back after this break.
Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music? And the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Vaccines are essential for new and returning students. Vaccines also protect fellow students, teachers, staff, and other members of the community from serious illnesses and even death. As you begin your back-to-school preparations, ensure that your children's vaccinations are up to date. All vaccines are available at all public health clinics.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Again, let me repeat our second question for today's trivia. In what year was the British apprenticeship system abolished? The question for today, numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720.
And that's all tied in with the story of Pompeii and Pompeii Square, right? That was named after him. And he was a slave who, and you're about to talk, you want to talk about craziness that's happening, the summers of...
I wanted to talk about BTC. When I said the summer of the discontent, I was meaning to talk about BTC, but we're going to have a responsible conversation about our concerns about BTC. Maybe at another time when I am less upset about my complete and utter lack of... I mean, it's not complete and utter. It's kind of like the CEO of BPL last week who opened his mouth and said... It seems like we've reached a point, like we've reached a point where people want their power on 100% of the time.
Don't say anything, Mark.
Just listen to that. Listen to it. Let me repeat it again. The CEO of BPL last week in an interview on Beyond the Headlines with Janique Miller said, we've reached a point where people want their power on 100% of the time. It's 2023. We reached that point, not in 2003, not in 1993. But maybe in 1993, because not everybody had power. So he was just happy to have it for, like, in pockets. But definitely.
Shocking.
Yeah, definitely, sir. That's why we have it. In fact, that's the only way that it works. If it's not on 100% of the time, then it's not working. I want to reference comments made to residents of Andres. First of all, I want to say good morning to the residents of Andres, and I want to say blessings to you. And that you are a model for Bahamians, right? Like the utmost personal discipline and self-control. Because if somebody got into the national papers and said that they have a power, they have power in electricity. I mean, they have power in Andres. There's no problem with the electricity. Everybody have electricity, except for 10% of the people, right? Like they're load shedding, but everybody has electricity. I would have run hot. Like I do regularly, given my own situation.
But see, if it's about expectation. If you have, say, 50% of something, and somebody's going to give you 60%, that's not, you know, that's, you're moving in the right direction. You can't then say, you know, you expect 100%, but it's like...
Unless it's electricity. No, unless it's electricity or communication services. Unless it's electricity or communication services,
Mark. But even with the internet, it's 99 point... Even in the States, they will say it's 99.9. You're never going to get 100% of internet service. You're always going to have that 0.1%. So 99.9
So do a calculation. Do a calculation for me. I pay for 150 megs, but I only get 30 megs in the middle of the night when everybody's sleeping. What percent... See why I didn't want to talk about it, Mark?
Okay, all right.
The sum of because you were making sense. You were making sense, and I think I'm making sense, but I bet I could point out who in this equation is not making sense. But like I say, I want to have a more responsible conversation about it because I'm going to invite listeners to call in and share their experiences with the utility companies. Not for their purpose, not for them, because... They have listening mechanisms. I don't know if they use them. But for IRCA, the entity that's responsible for regulating these entities, that's who I want to hear it.
I have to say, I'm impressed with their collection services because I was 5 days late with paying my bill and somebody came to my gate to come and disconnect my power. 5 days late. So that's something, eh? I was like shocked. That's fast, you know. At least give me 2 weeks. You know, it was like the first time that I had done it, but that they're on the ball to cut you off.
Yeah, that's up to me.
Thankfully, my wife was there and asked them to come back later, and I was able to make my $400 payment. Boom.
That's up to me.
Yeah.
They can't even tell you when they're going to shut the power off or when they're going to turn it back on.
But that's impressive.
Good morning, producer. I see we got a call on the line. Check that call. Let's see if it is a trivia winner for me. All right, so here's what the story is really about, the sum of their discontent. There's a young social media influencer in the States named Kai Cenat. He is a Jamaican descent young man, and he won Streamer of the Year this week, last week just gone, Streamer of the Year, I think on a platform called Twitch, and he decided to have a celebration in Union Square that turned into a riot faster than Jimi Hendrix filled Woodstock, wow. Mr. Mark Palmer, and I thought that was very interesting, juxtaposed to a couple of things that happened over the weekend. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, how are you?
You're a guest. I'm doing great. Still tall, smart, and handsome, but thanks for asking. You know, utilities. That's something, eh? 30 pounds of pressure in your water should be coming through your line 24/7, not 3 hours a day. Okay?
I live on a slope, Graham. That's what they told me. You live on a slope.
I hope the slope down, because if it's sloping up, you're going to get a trickle. So, I don't want to say we're a failed state, but as it pertains to water, failed. Electricity. Everybody got electricity, but it ain't on. Mm-hmm. As it pertains to electricity, failed. ISP, Internet Service Providers. They've been charging you for bandwidth that you have not gotten forever. They tell you 30 megabit down, 100 megabit down. How much is up when you want to send a photo out? Not download a photo, send a photo out.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 5 meg? It's nothing. It's slow as anything. So, in communications, I have to give a big fat failure. Now, cell phone. Well, you know, sound like that, right? So, cell phone communication. Failure. Hate to say failed state. I'm trying not to. Help me not say that.
Don't say that, Graham.
What government department, and not the good people working in there where they ain't making no money, but the big chiefs, what government department, have the big chiefs call in, is working to 50% efficiency? You know, it's sad. What we need here is we need the solar. We'll get rid of the energy problem. The water, we need a big desal RO plant that uses a lot of electricity, but thank goodness for the solar to run that. ISP, we need a new fiber optic cable to come through the Bahamas that's not owned by, you know, the usual people. Owned by the people. You know what? Aaron, let me cut it short. Today at 4 o'clock, I'm going to be on Naughty, and we're going to give you the breakdown on how to fix the Bahamas.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely.
Have a good one.
Absolutely. You heard that, Graham. I didn't cut him this time, but Graham is going to be on Naughty at 4 o'clock on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM to explore some of the things he talked about just now. You know, my concern is, like, there's nobody... Imagine this. SpaceX, Elon Musk's company, announces that their subsidiary Starlink is coming to the Bahamas. We find out in the first quarter or the first third, we find out in the first third of 2023 that they come in, that Starlink Bahamas is now a licensed entity in the Bahamas. And then we find out like in April or May that Starlink says, or that their parent company says that they signed a memorandum of understanding with BTC a hot minute ago. I think all the way as far back as 2021, right? There's been no discussion in the public domain about the average citizen's access to the services that Starlink Bahamas will or intends to provide. I could be honest with you, the moment I saw the Starlink or this, you know, their affiliate companies said, because it hasn't been confirmed to me yet, but said that they signed a memorandum of understanding with BTC, my heart sank. My heart dropped through the ground. We almost find water, right? Because I, like I'm sure a lot of people who were aware or became aware, just presumed that Starlink would be an alternate, right? Mm-hmm. A competitor in the market.
So why would they sign with BTC and not with the government? Or IRCA.
Well, this is why I've said it hasn't been confirmed.
Okay.
When I announced, when I had the show and we talked about it, right, I indicated that it requires more clarity because maybe Starlink misinterpreted the relationship between BTC and the government. Right? Maybe they misinterpreted the relationship between the entities and misspoke when they said they signed a memorandum of understanding with BTC itself. But here's the point. Nobody knows. We don't know. We don't know.
Well, I'm sure they had legal advice. They would have taken a top firm here in the Bahamas to guide them through that process. They wouldn't just come in empty-handed, and they would rely on that top firm.
I imagine that a professional company would do that. I just want to know whether Bahamians, the average user, will have access to services provided by this company, right? Because we're looking for a competitor. When I raised my concerns in the private domain, people said, well, you still have that company. Why you still have that company? And then I explained to them that I have to have both to be able to access the internet 99.9% of the time. And even with both, I'm unable to do that. Right?
So do we know what Starlink charges in other countries?
Is
it even available? I mean, I know Elon Musk uses it when he flies around his plane, but...
Well, this is it. You know how the U.S. communication systems work. It's illegal to broadcast signals outside of the U.S. without proper authorization. It's illegal to receive signals, U.S. signals, right, outside of the U.S. jurisdiction without proper authorization. I'd read an article earlier this year about people who have been using Starlink's, they call it RV, right? Like recreational vehicle package, where they'd be able to use it outside of the jurisdiction temporarily, right? Like on a short-term basis. But I think I'm now under the impression, given the lack of information or the absence of information in the public domain, that the initial purpose of Starlink in the Bahamas is to provide services to corporate entities and to quote-unquote tourists moving in and out of the country.
So you get like a little satellite and you put that on your roof, and that's how you connect to Starlink. I'm just on their website now, and they give you a 30-day, well, anyways, in the States,
does that
30-day
say,
trial.
Right, that says in the States, not Starlink Bahamas, right?
And you can travel, put it on your RV, and you can actually manage it on a mobile app. But I don't see how much it costs, but that'd be like a serious competitor, wouldn't you say?
That's what I've been saying, Mark. The question is that what IRCA is saying? Is that what the Ministry of Public Works is saying? Is that what BTC and Alive and Cable is saying? In fact, I'm going to have to pull up those articles, but earlier this year, I referenced a statement by Alive, right? The article was, I think it's like 5G or third mobile competitor. And one of the entities, I think it was Alive, was saying, hey, you can't have both. We can't support both. We can't support expansion into 5G and a third mobile competitor. And I just wanted to say to all of those entities, y'all may not be able to support it. Y'all may not be able to support it, but we, the public, would like a chance to support it. We'd like a chance at a third competitor. We'd like y'all to stop talking as if everything is fine in the market. We'd like y'all to stop talking as if everybody in the country is satisfied with your service.
Okay, I've got it. $120 a month. That's what it costs to run Starlink. And the hardware is going to cost you $600.
$100 in the States?
In the States, yeah. $120, you put a deposit, and $599 for hardware, $120 a month to utilize the service, plus tax, I guess.
I mean, that sounds like commercial prices in the Bahamas jurisdiction, right? Yeah. That sounds like corporate prices, but people are desperate. People are desperate for a real alternate. Right, and I think people are tied.
Kind of double what I'm paying right now.
Yeah,
for internet.
I think people are tired of being made to feel like they have an option. Right. I don't think anybody feels like they have an option.
So it's not going to be for the average person on the street. This looks more like a premium service, you know, like that unlimited data, which I think is about 120 a month or 150 a month with our providers.
But
I
wonder the extent to which the government would use it. Can the government roll out a thorough or rigorous Sandola platform without a great enhancement of communication services
so
across the archipelago.
About redundancy as well, but redundancy for the central bank or whoever is operating these rollouts, that when cable goes down or BTC, that they have Starlink as a redundant measure,
as a backup,
which then kicks in as a backup.
I got a text here. It says, electricity and BPL. I've lived in the Seabreeze community for the past 30 years, and the more things change, the more they seem to stay the same. In this community, in regards to BPL, it seems that whenever they start their load shedding, we have always gotten the brunt of it. Back in the 80s and 90s, it seemed to be political because as the parties changed power, depending on which one was in, it seemed to be worse. We are now in 2023, and it seems that 2 to 3 days out of the week, we in this community have to deal with the issue of no electricity for hours. This community is now a community of retired people, some healthy and some not, but to the powers that be, this is no concern as they carelessly turn off the power for hours, especially during the night. I am surprised that no one has died yet. The electricity has gone up to 0.27 cents a kilowatt over 800 kilowatt hour consumption as they try to tax the big companies while hurting the small man so they can make it seem fair. If I am paying 0.27 cents a kilowatt, I don't want any excuses. Please fix your issues. No other business would be in business if they operated this way. This is someone with a historic, as I tell you all, my experience, BEC has been in crisis for 30 plus years. I got a text that says, I placed a deposit for Starlink when it becomes available. Since it is not tied to any landlines, you don't need BTC or government alive approval since everything transaction is done online. All right, so now, Mark, we got to invite reps from IRCA here to tell us how Starlink would work. How would it fit into IRCA's regulatory framework, right? Because I can go online, I could go online and purchase a subscription, but in terms of oversight, management, repair, you know, what are the protocols for that? Plus, Starlink can operate via solar. See, sometimes y'all think it's the big thing. Sometimes it's the small things. Imagine you have been working with copper, and your utility company says we're transitioning to fiber, and now your phone line is going to be on a fiber line, which means when the power goes off, you're going to need a power source for your phone to continue working. Mm-hmm. But your power bank that comes with your tower doesn't have a slot to plug your phone in, so when the power goes off, you no longer have a landline. For how often the power goes off, imagine that I now, when the power goes off, I have to call BEC from my phone to tell them the power's off, but I don't have a landline available to do that, so now I have to make data available, right? I have to get money, put minutes on my phone to call BEC, to be on hold. That's the on hold part that got me confused with the two entities. You got to call BEC and be on hold or wait for an automated message and just run up your minutes to be able to tell them that they are not functioning properly. What a time to be alive. All right, so back to the sum of their discontent. This young Jamaican-American streamer Kai Cenat won Stream of the Year, and he announced, I'd say 1 o'clock in the day, that he would be giving out PlayStations and tech equipment and merchandise in Union Square. And in less than two hours, Union Square was packed to capacity. In fact, it had reached status, resulting in Kai Cenat and several members of his social media influencer team being detained. Cenat will be charged with multiple counts, including 2 counts of inciting a riot and unlawful assembly, for not informing the police or the relevant authorities that he was having an event, nor applying and receiving a permit. And when I looked at that, the first thing I thought was That's what young Americans were compelled about, right? Like,
that's what gets them out in the streets.
That's what got them out in the streets. Mm-hmm. And there was a quote from a young man who was out there who said, you know, who gives up an opportunity to meet someone famous? That's it. Who would give up an opportunity to meet someone famous? And I thought about Woodstock, and I thought about all of the major events that have caused people to fill the streets, right? And I wondered if we realize that this is a real, real turning point, not just in America, in the global North and in Western society. These young people got up to go see a celebrity for the chance to win something. They filled the square, and then they refused to be moved. Mm-hmm. Right? They refused to be moved. And I wonder if people are, if they saw what was happening, and if they're assessing it, and they realize the implications, right? Are young people motivated towards social issues and social justice issues, right? Have influencers become, like, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X could fill a crowd, they could fill a room, they could fill a square. But could they do that today with these young people? Right? And then I wanted to juxtapose that quickly, but just towards the end of the show, let me repeat the second question. In what year was the apprenticeship system abolished? In what year was the British apprenticeship system abolished? Numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. Text line 422-GR96, powered by BTC. Right? And let's juxtapose this to something that happened in Montgomery, Alabama, in the United States this weekend. There was a brawl. I referenced it irreverently as when Alabama Strong turned out to be Alabama Wrong. But a dock worker, an African-American dock worker, had approached a group of boaters who had tied up their pleasure craft on the dock. He indicated to them that they are not allowed to park up their boat here at this berth. They need to move it because a commercial boat is waiting to tie up. They ignored him. He began untying the vessel and pushing it off, and then they approached him. He was engaging with several of them, talking, and then one man off camera just rushes onto the scene and physically batters the guy. Right? It starts with an assault because he's rushing at him, and then he literally batters him, and then a group of Caucasian people attack this one dock worker. People witnessing the scene then flew to his aid, and a brawl
ensued,
one that the police couldn't themselves stop. They had to wait for the tide to turn, pun intended, the energy to go down. I wanted to sort of juxtapose those two issues because a lot of people, a lot of Caucasian people, and a lot of ontologically white people, let me pause here to declare my bias. I'm an anti-supremacist. Right. Ontologically, white people they cried foul. They said those African Americans had no need to attack those white people like that. They overpowered them. It was a real brawl, and they had no reason or justification for treating those white people that way. Right? For many African Americans, I mean, across the board, professionals, professors, scholars, entertainers, pastors, people in government have been engaging on social media, sort of celebrating what is seen as, I want to say, emancipatory, because why, we free now, I could make up words. But an emancipating experience, right? Like there was something that resonated in them, and they celebrated not that the white people got beat up, you know, but that black people and people of color stood up in a moment of injustice, right? Mm-hmm. And protected an African-American who was being attacked.
It's such a shame we can't resolve our differences, isn't it, in this day and age. But you know, you have this diet of violence on TV, mm-hmm. in the movies, and you get conditioned over the years that to resolve your differences, you get your gun and you get the other guy. It's like the playground. So I'm mm-hmm. not surprised that people do react that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an automatic reaction. You do me wrong, or I see a wrong, I'm going to right it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't talk about things anymore. We don't de-escalate. We just go straight in emotionally. And, you know, I'm not judging either side, but mm-hmm. it's just a shame that, you know, and this is probably infrequent, right? So it's not something, but it may be something that happens every day, and then this is just sparked.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an opportunity to reflect, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is a learning moment. I think if we look at both groups of people.
Because violence only polarizes each group, so you're not going to get back to that central space we need to get in where we respect each other. All it creates is polarization. Violence creates more polarization and no peace. So it's just it doesn't work for anyone. It makes your ego feel good, right? It makes you feel powerful, whichever side you're on, but it doesn't lead to peace, which is what we really need in the world right now.
As a responsible media personality, Mark, I have to say that I don't think you've said anything wrong there at all. I don't think you've said anything wrong there. Peace is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great opportunity.
It's easy for me to say, right? I wasn't there. I wasn't inflamed. I wasn't aggravated.
And you're a European descent man, mm-hmm. that enjoys tremendous privilege in
exactly.
this world and in the Bahamas.
Agreed.
You know,
yeah.
I can say though, mm-hmm. as a black woman lesbian, I also engage. I also experience a lot of privilege, right? And so I could appreciate what it is that you're saying. I think it's a great opportunity, though, to assess what's happening among us and to ask the question, why does each group of people feel so powerless that this is how they respond to the situation? I think for young people, the situation in New York, it's an important spotlight. We would see that young people are powerless, and they feel powerless in the world that they live in. Mm-hmm. And like that young man said, an opportunity to meet someone famous, like, is worth it. It's worth all of this risk. For the African Americans and people of color in Alabama, to understand the collective powerlessness that African Americans mm-hmm. still feel in the 21st century, in 2023, mm-hmm. in the place that they're born in, right? I think it's important for the leaders in that community and in those communities to take a look at that. Yes, peace is the way to go without a doubt. However, what does it mean for that small group of white people to get up and think that they could behave that way mm-hmm. in the face of everything? Yeah. Anyway, my producer is the most responsible of all of us, Mr. Palmer. I'm going to say thank you, Kermit. We're at the end of our hour. You guys have a great day. C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. We didn't get an answer for our last question. The answer is 1838. The English-British apprenticeship system.
I thought it was 1840.
38.
38, okay.
Yeah, 38. Anyway, Mark, somebody here calling you a white apologist. It's okay, Texter. We all off the radio now. Have a great day, Bahamas. C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.